Hello and welcome to the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 19th of August 2012. My name's TRP Watson, and this week I'm joined by Nick from Partially Obstructed View and Rev Stan. We're now going to talk about The Rover, which is being done at the New Diorama Theatre by the Pell Mell Theatre Company. Now, The Rover is a play by Aphra Behn, who was the first English woman professional playwright. He's a sort of a bit of a mouthful, you have to say that. He was a playwright of the Restoration. And I have a lot of affection for this play. I saw it in 1978 when I was a small child. Well, I was about, 11 or 12. And it was the first time it'd been produced for something like 200 or even 250 years. And I really liked it. I probably didn't understand it. It's a rather grown-up play. But I've always been fascinated by her and by this play ever since. And it's not often that you get to see it, although this is the second production of the play on the Fringe in the last couple of years. There was a Southwark Playhouse production a couple of years ago, which was moderately well received, and not of them fantastically. This play is the carnival time in Naples. We have two sisters, Florinda and Helena. Helena is destined to be a nun, but really doesn't want to be, and Florinda is promised to various people. Her father wants her to marry one person, her brother wants to marry another person, and she wants to marry a young colonel, English colonel called Belville. Into this mix is one of Belville's friends, who is a naval commander known as Wilmore, known as the Rover, and he is he's pretty much will screw anything he can. They all sort of meet up in this carnival. In addition to the mix are a rather dumb yokel squire, country gentleman called Ned Blunt, and a famous courtesan called Angelica Bianca. And we get misunderstandings where Florinda is almost raped twice by various members of the cast, and Angelica Bianca falls in love with the Rover, as does Helena, and the Rover, Wilmore the Rover, falls in love with Helena, which is possibly, given that he is, even in this production, he's a pretty obnoxious person, is probably his only redeeming feature, is his love for Helena in this play. It has a lot of difficulty because we have these two almost rapes on Florinda, and it's not so much that it's inappropriate to talk about them or depict them, it's that they're sort of treated as, that was nothing really, I'm over it and I've got it. And in this production, the almost rapes are taken seriously, but they are she seems a bit of an airhead, and almost without a mind, almost without a proper idea in her head. It's always a very difficult thing to do in this play, and it's one of the most one of the most tricky things that I've noticed about this. This play has lots of problems as a play because of Aphra Behn's importance as a sort of feminist icon, and nobody really does Restoration plays anymore, so it's difficult to see her in any context. But I kind of like this production. I thought it was rather rough and ready. They've cut about two characters out, which means we get one or two people we get somebody wandering in because they need in the second rape scene, because we need two people to do it, and it's usually Ned Blunt and another minor character, so we have to have some random person sort of wandering off the street, which is a bit odd. There's a rather nice touch with a chorus of three girls who are just sort of like courtesans and helpers and servants and whatever is needed, and they provide sort of like a Greek chorus, but they also do the epilogue and the prologue and the epilogue, which would normally be things done by Nell Gwynn. I think she actually did it in for The Rover. Okay, so Nick, I understand you didn't like this quite as much.
I don't really know what to say about this production because I didn't think there was really much to it at all. This was a play I really wanted to see because, again, I'd heard of Aphra Behn and especially of, I think it is her best known play, isn't it? And I'd heard of her as being the kind of feminist icon and the first professional female playwright. And I could kind of see, this is the thing, I'm trying to kind of separate the production from the play, because it's always hard to do when you see it for the first time. But actually, I think I could very much see the shell of the Restoration comedy beneath whatever ended up on stage. But I just thought the production was unbelievably flat. There wasn't really any inventiveness to it. There was a real scope in terms of talent in the performances. There were some people really kind of doing their best to rise above the production and not quite managing to, and there was a lot of people who were kind of just kind of there, and then there was one or two performances that were dreadful right on the other scale, other end of the scale. Yeah, I just didn't find there was any kind of life. It was kind of unbelievable, really. I had to keep constantly checking back on my program to see the bit where it said it was taking place in a carnival because I got no sense of that whatsoever, despite the fact that people were wandering on in masks all the time. There was just no carnival atmosphere to it at all. And yes, I can see that some of it is going to be problems with the play itself and the fact that there is this element of, I mean, it says in the notes that Aphra Behn was trying to kind of throw in to this kind of Restoration comedy kind of ideas of, look, this is what women have to put up with in this day. You know, it's this fear of being raped and then that being treated as their, as them being ruined women. So I think it's clearly a tricky play to put on. I think it's a difficult one to get the various elements and the various different moods right. But I don't think this production came anywhere close to either doing the comedy right or balancing that out with more serious elements.
Yeah, they certainly had the staging was very, very simple, and they did seem to be in a, well, there was straw on the floor, so it almost looked like a stable at times. And
I had no idea what that was doing there. Again, you know, it's, I have no problem with minimal productions, but I think, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of fringe stuff is not really cash rich. I don't think this was remotely ideas rich either, which is really what, those are the really exciting productions where you see that clearly there's not much money to go around, but my God, there's a lot of ideas around, and there weren't really any ideas in this, I don't think. Yes, like I say, I mean, there's this huge amount of straw, which apart from making it really unpleasant to sit and try and breathe in that small space, does not remotely put across the location that you're supposed to be. I found, I mean, like you say, I mean, you say there was a few characters cut and certain elements cut. Obviously, I haven't seen the play before, and I certainly found parts of it, maybe not the storytelling confusing, but there was people turning up who I had no idea who they were. Why is this bloke turned up? Why is that man in a wig? Is he actually meant to be a man in drag? Is he meant to be a female character? I'm not sure who, you know. There was a lot of the storytelling was very unclear. So, yeah, I'd like to kind of throw something positive in about it, but I'm finding it really hard.
Well, yeah, just because it's dear to me, it doesn't have to be dear to anybody else. What did you think about it, Rev Stan?
I'm afraid I'm going to fall into Nick's camp. I thought the play was very problematic. Obviously, I saw the same performance as you, and it was first preview, so it may well be that it's gelled a bit more. But I thought there were some weak performances. I thought there was some overacting. I didn't think it was funny enough, and I felt very uncomfortable with the attempted rape scenes. It reminded me a little bit about, it reminded me of when I went to see What the Butler Saw, where they were making jokes about rape, and I just didn't think it was, I just didn't think that was funny, and I think it just didn't sit with the comedy, because you've got quite sort of a physical, outlandish comedy, or albeit not particularly well done and not particularly funny, but you could see in different hands this might be actually quite a funny play. But then you've got these very awkward scenes. I just don't enjoy watching a woman begging for a man not to rape her. I just found that very, very uncomfortable. So I didn't particularly enjoy it, I'm afraid. I thought the delivery wasn't great, wasn't very clear. It's difficult to work out what they were saying sometimes. Not one of my favourites this year, I'm afraid.
I feel kind of guilty now having asked people to go to it.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, I as I said, this is. I mean, the thing is that we get this. We get this occasionally, and people want to graft things onto her. For me, I think Afra Behn was a jobbing playwright. She was, she was no different to the men. She's not especially feminist. I don't think she's trying to be. I don't think she's particularly trying to be a feminist. She might. This play does tend to say that she's. Does put the women's dilemma and spell it out more clearly than others might do. But I think The Way of the World is about the same thing, and that's a Restoration play. I mean, a lot of the problem here is that. It's not a play that people really want to do, but sort of big companies. I've not seen a big company. The last time it was done by sort of a major company and the major staging was the RSC did it in 1986, with Jeremy Irons, I think, as the Rover, and I unfortunately didn't see that, and that's how long it's been since there has been one. There's the Royal Court did a try to do one of her plays in the late 80s, I think, just one of the city comedies, which is a fairly ordinary restoration comedy, fairly standard fare, but nobody really, she seems to be somebody that people don't really want to deal with and don't really want to treat with. It's possibly because people don't want to do restoration comedies anymore.
But I'd like to see someone like Jessica Swale, who's got such a sure and individual touch with restoration comedies. I'd like to see her take on it, because I'm sure we'd get something interesting there. And you'd be able at least there to see, because obviously I don't know anything else about this company's work, and I'm not in a huge hurry to find out now. But we'd know there how it stands up within somebody who's got a track record.
I don't think you can say that people don't want to do restoration comedies, because we've had two very, very good restoration comedies this year. The Way of the World, which albeit wasn't in London, was in Sheffield, and She Stoops to Conquer at the National, were both very, very good productions and very well done. So I don't think it's a case of people don't want to do restoration comedies. Maybe it's just this one, because I can see it would be a very, very difficult play to balance the humour with the rape scenes or the attempted rape scenes. And this is part of the Camden Fringe. And I've seen a couple of other things at the Camden Fringe which were like 10 times better. So there's better things on, I think, in small theatres in London at the moment than this.
And actually, I mean, I mentioned Jessica Swale, and you were saying about. I will say, I mean, in the last couple of years, she's done two, and there is one. There is coming to Southwark Playhouse. I think it's got called The Busybody, and that's in the next month or two. So there is restoration comedy.
Yeah, it's not around. It's not. I mean, certainly in terms of, I do have a slight problem with calling She Stoops to Conquer. A restoration comedy. Restoration comedies for me are very particular plays, which are really up until you get the sort of more puritanical age coming in with after Queen Anne comes in. So you're talking about sort of 1700. After about 1700, although they still get lumped in with restoration comedies, they're nothing like as sexy. And then nothing like it, because it was this sort of puritanical vice came down, lump came down on people after about 1700, so you get plays like The Recruiting Officer, which might count as a Restoration comedy, but it's innocent when compared to, you know, proper Restoration comedies where you're pretty sure people are having sex. People go to bed with each other in proper Restoration comedies. They don't go to bed with each other in She Stoops to Conquer. It's very innocent and very, very pleasant in many ways. But I mean, you're certainly right. There are one or two, but there are a limited number of them, even then. And Jessica Swale, yes, absolutely, she's fantastic, and I'm looking forward to Busybody, like I think everybody else. It's we're always looking for the next thing she's going to do. When I'm going to talk about the RSC's Julius Caesar, which is on tour at the moment and is currently ensconced at the Noel Coward Theatre until the 15th of September. This is a production directed by the artistic director designate Gregory Duran, and is set in modern Africa. As such, it has an all black cast, which is actually not as radical for me as I thought. I wondered if it was supposed to be, because I've seen all these actors many times and I know how good they are, and I've seen them in doing Shakespeare and I know exactly how good they are, so although I was very pleased by this production, I wasn't really, I didn't feel the great Africanness of it. I mean, it works very well. I think it's a very good production. I did come away thinking that really the big lesson of this play is, under no circumstance do what Brutus says. Do the opposite. Ignore him at all costs, because otherwise terrible things are going to happen. But I think that's true of every production of the play, but it's just particular here. We have Patterson Joseph playing Brutus, we have Cyril Nery as Cassius, Ray Fearon as Mark Antony, and Jeffrey Kassoun as Caesar. And it's really well done. It's got a nice feel to it. It seems to be on a rather broken down arena, but or something like that, almost like a gladiatorial arena, but as a set. And we have a sort of band playing in the background. But it works extremely well, I thought, and I was very impressed by it. What did you think about it, Nick?
Well, I saw this a while back when it was still in Stratford-upon-Avon, so obviously the set would probably have come across quite differently, because they're very different kinds of stage. And from what I've heard, the other big difference is that they've added an interval, which it didn't have in Stratford-upon-Avon. It ran straight through for 2.25 hours. But yes, I really liked this production. It's one of the better Julius Caesars I've seen. It's not a Shakespeare I'm a huge fan of, simply because it's one of those where the productions that haven't done anything for me have outnumbered the ones that that have. But this it's very strong in it's one thing I find in productions of Julius Caesar is, and it might just be that this was the trend at the time that I was kind of getting old enough to start seeing various different productions of Shakespeare. I feel like I've seen a hell of a lot of productions of involving kind of middle-aged men in suits where they're playing a kind of political metaphor. And I always come out of it feeling like I have no idea who it's like a mass of people who these conspirators are. And I think one thing that's very good about this production is there's such good work done on the characters, especially the kind of the initial three conspirators. They're so clear what their motives are and what their personalities are and how they're reacting to what they're thinking of doing. You absolutely know. I mean, as it goes on, I think it's the play as well is makes it tricky to because there's actually quite a lot of conspirators by the end. But certainly at the start, I think the characters are very clear. For me, I think the other thing, and I don't know whether this is going to be diminished by the fact of adding an interval, because I felt as if the fact that I'd seen it all in one go contributed to this. But what I really felt that this production said the play was about, it's about a cyclical nature of tyrants. I mean, leaving aside for the moment the fact that we never actually know for sure just how terrible a leader Caesar is. We have to kind of rely on people telling us, look, he seems kind of inoffensive enough at the moment, but he is going to turn into this terrible terrible dictator. But it's the thing I got from this production very much was this is a story about one dictator gets knocked out of the way and there's another one waiting in the wings. I think partly this is down to all the performances are really good, but there's Ray Fearon, who plays Mark Antony, and is kind of poised at the end to pretty much be in charge. He brings a really kind of hard glint to it, a real kind of threat of violence to his character. So however much he's kind of the great orator, you can easily see that he could be the next one that everybody's going to be stood behind waiting to get rid of, because he's turned out to be a psychopath like the ones before. And there's this real feel of the play. It kind of, you know, it's opened with celebration because somebody's just been, because Pompey's been defeated, carries on through to Caesar himself being seen as the same thing and being got rid of, and then it ends with someone else who may or may not be as bad taking power at the end. So it feels like that's the overall shape of the play is very I felt it really keenly in this production. I don't know whether that comes across when you kind of break that up and stick an interval in it. I mean it's nice because I'm not hugely a fan of Gregory Doran, because I don't particularly actively, you know, he's not a director I would avoid. I don't dislike him. There's been a couple of his productions that I've really not liked, but overall I find him he's not huge on ideas. And there's the odd scene where you kind of think, okay, we know how you know this is, you've staged this the way you've staged everything else, but overall it's a bit more reassuring, what with him being, well, we've known for a while that he's going to take over the RSC, but we won't see the fruits of it for well over another year, because there's nothing that he's going to program going to turn up for until autumn of 2013. It's all already programmed up by Michael Boyd, but it is, you know, it's nice to see something that makes me feel a bit more positive about Greg Doran's vision of how Shakespeare can be done.
You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast page in Facebook, on the web we are ayu-londontheatre.org, and the podcast can also be found on iTunes, where you can leave a review. Thank you. Goodbye.